Welcome into Real Pod Wednesdays. Dan Hope joined by Andy Anders for our post-spring game edition of Real Pod Wednesdays. 15 spring practices are in the books for Ohio State football. Now the Buckeyes will have a few months off from practice before they return to the field in August. And as we come out of this spring, Andy, you know, I think it's an interesting calculus now as we kind of look back on everything we saw this spring, because I think you could see it in the spring game. We could see it all spring. I mean, this roster is loaded with talent. I firmly believe that Ohio State, in terms of overall talent, has the best roster in the country for the 2024 season. However, we still have the same two questions about this team that we had coming into the spring, that we had at this time last year, that we had going into last year. And that is Ohio State's quarterback play going to be good enough? And is Ohio State's offensive line play going to be good enough? And I think Saturday's spring game, I mean, I think we'd probably be lying if we said we really learned a whole lot from a spring game. I think we learned more from the actual practices we got to see than we did from a spring game. But the spring game did not answer those questions for us. I think the spring game certainly highlighted how deep this team is, how much talent this team has, but I think you still come out of it going, at least in my mind, I look at this team and I go, this could be a national championship team. But much like last year, it's going to come down to, is the quarterback play good enough and is the offensive line play good enough?
Yeah, same old, more things change, more they seem to stay the same from last year to this year. You know, not that Devin or Will or really many of the quarterbacks look particularly awful or particularly great in the spring game. You know, Julian Sayam did appear like a freshman, I think, more so than the practices we saw, making some bad decisions. The interception was bad. You know, I think it's clearly evolving to be Devin versus Will, which is what we expected, I think, coming into the spring, maybe even toward as the spring progressed. But you thought Julian Sayam might be getting in the mix. I think that sort of train has faded quite a bit, you know, especially, you know, I was one of the main conductors of the Julian Sayam hype train, if you will. But I think he looked like a freshman again in that spring game. So, you know, there's still real concerns with Will Howard's deep ball accuracy in particular. The overall accuracy, I think, is something that will hopefully develop with better knowledge, better chemistry within this offense, as opposed to the one he was running at Kansas State. But didn't really get to see him push the ball down the field a whole lot on Saturday, neither him nor Devin. I mean, Devin only threw 7 passes in total. So this was, as much as the spring game is usually, of course, rolling players through and experimenting with different lineups and, you know, working the second and third teamers quite a bit, I feel like the starters played as little in this one as I can remember. And as such, there wasn't like a whole lot to evaluate compared to what we saw even at that student appreciation day practice, like you mentioned. But, you know, overall, questions are still the same on that offensive line. We saw the center, the right guard positions be rotated. Those position battles are still not solved. And that right guard position outside of quarterback is the top spot Ohio State needs to figure out this offseason, whether it looks to add a transfer or not. Ryan Day has certainly left that possibility open. But in the spring game, we saw a few different guys mix in. Tegra Shibola, Carson Hinsman, who also rotated with Seth McLaughlin at center when the ones were out there. And then Luke Montgomery has seemed to kind of fade as the competition has progressed here.
Yeah, going back to the quarterbacks, the reality is there just wasn't enough of a sample size in the spring game for us to really have a major evaluation of how they performed. And that may have been by design. Like, you know, they want to do a lot of their evaluation behind the scenes when the public and the media aren't watching. So that may have been by design to not put them out there for too many drives to try to control the narratives coming out of spring. But, you know, I would have liked to see those guys get a little bit more work. And, you know, I think it's interesting is I think the thing that's challenging for me right now with this quarterback situation is what I'm hearing does not marry up with what I'm seeing, because, you know, we have to be objective. It's part of our duty as journalists to be objective and be honest and be transparent. And I cannot sit here right now and say I am highly confident in Will Howard as Ohio State's starting quarterback. That's not to say that I think he's going to be awful, but I cannot sit here and say that I think the way, from what I saw personally from Will Howard this spring, that I think he's going to go out there and be an elite quarterback for this Ohio State offense. Now, maybe he doesn't need to be. And the comparison that started to come to mind for me more and more of Will Howard is JT Barrett. As I think, you know, physically they have some similar characteristics. I think they're both guys who are decent passers, good runners. I think that short and intermediate stuff, I think Will Howard is fine. I think it's when you start getting more into the longer range downfield stuff where you see some of the accuracy issues show up with Will Howard, and that was the case with JT Barrett as well. You know, I think the problem with that is you've got Emeka Buka, Carnell Tate, Brandon Innes, and Jeremiah Smith. You want a quarterback who can take full advantage of those weapons. You know, you think back to when they had CJ Stroud. Part of what made CJ Stroud so good was he knew how to utilize those guys. He knew how to put those guys in position to make plays. You know, if you want to take one example of why I have concerns about Will Howard from the spring game, there was one series there where he had three potential touchdown passes in a row that were incomplete. And there was one in particular. Ryan Day was being interviewed during the play, and he throws a pass to Jeremiah Smith in the end zone that should have been a 50-50 ball, but it was low and it was short. And Day even remarked, we got to get that ball higher. We got to give Jeremiah a chance, because we've seen it, Andy, in practice. We didn't see a whole lot of Jeremiah in the spring game, but we've seen it in practice sessions. If you give Jeremiah a chance to make the play on the ball, good chance he's going to make it. Even when he's going against a Denzel Burke level corner, there's a good chance he's going to make it because he's that good. But the quarterback has to be able to give him a chance. Now, granted, Will Howard's only been at Ohio State for 15 practices here. There's going to be 25 more practices in August going into the season in September. So those things can and probably will improve. But what doesn't quite marry up to me is, you know, based on what we hear from people who are in the know, Will Howard is still viewed in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center as the front runner to be the starting quarterback. I think you could see that with the way the quarterbacks were handled in this game. He got the start. He got two drives as the first team offense. Devin Brown only got one. I think the expectation within the Woody Hayes Athletic Center is that Will Howard is going to be Ohio State starting quarterback this year. And I think it should be our expectation too, because he started 27 games at Kansas State. I mean, they're devoting NIL money to him to bring him in here. They did not bring him in to be the backup. And so it makes total sense that he would still be the front runner for the job. And I think part of that is, I mean, I think based on what we saw, I think Devin Brown had a good spring. Like, again, if I was just picking a quarterback right now based solely off what we saw this spring, which was a sample size of 20% of the total practices, because we basically saw three full practices out of 15. Out of that sample size, I thought Devin Brown looked better than Will Howard did this spring. But I don't think, at least based on what we hear, that Devin Brown was so much better than Will Howard to necessarily change the calculus that they had coming into the spring of Will being the likely starter. And so, you know, I think as we sit here right now, my expectation would be that Will Howard will be the starting quarterback this season. I think something is going to have to change for him not to be the starting quarterback this season. But is he good enough for this team to achieve all of its goals? That's a big question, because we have to remember Kyle McCord has become a punchline now. But Kyle McCord won all but one of his games as Ohio State's starting quarterback. Kyle McCord was good enough for Ohio State to beat every team on its schedule, except the team that it really needed to beat. And that's the whole question here is, you know, I am confident that Will Howard with this roster is good enough to win 10, 11 games for Ohio State in the regular season. Is Will Howard good enough for Ohio State to beat Michigan, win the Big Ten, and win the national championship? That's the whole question here.
Yeah, and it was the question last year with McCord, right? You there are a lot of quarterbacks in the country. You know, I'd say a lot of, maybe even half of all D1 FBS starting quarterbacks could take this roster and get it to the playoff. Like, with the 12 teams, I think there's kind of a, you know, can't completely crash the car in a way that's going to lose you three games in the regular season if you're Ohio State. And 10-2 is getting this team in the playoff. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that, I think. But can Will Howard be that next evolution? Coming in, I had my doubts as to whether he'd be a true upgrade over McCord as a passer. And there's been nothing to recommend to me yet that he is, nothing to prove it yet. Again, very early in the process, and you're still getting acclimated. It takes a long time for a quarterback, particularly in an offense like this, where there's so much on a quarterback's plate in terms of the passing concepts, in terms of the reads. Ryan Day runs a very intricate passing scheme. And, you know, Chip Kelly will be calling, of course, a very intricate passing scheme. I also think, you know, another thing that takes the load off the quarterback, whether it's Will, whether it's Devin, is the running game, right? You have two of the best, if not the two best, running backs in college football this year. And the advantage of Chip Kelly's scheme is that, you know, this was a point I saw made by some other people on the beat, is that Chip Kelly in the past has elevated offensive lines that weren't necessarily as good, certainly from a player-to-player perspective, through his scheme. The way, you know, we watched at the coach's clinic, he calls it confusement. The way he's able to alter fronts, play with things, get lateral to really stretch defenses out, and then pound the ball downhill off of some of those more outside-hitting runs, involve other players in the running game, outside the offensive line in the backs, tight ends, receivers as blockers. All these things, you know, we had a great segment with Kyle Jones a few weeks ago on what he brings when Chip Kelly was first hired, I guess a few months ago now. That element of it is also going to help support these quarterbacks, is you have a running game that should be among the best in college football. Now, if your offensive line can get to the caliber that it needs to, that'll elevate that side of things just that much more. The one advantage I saw for Will Howard, I think, over Devin Brown at this point in their careers is pocket presence. And I think a lot of that comes with the experience. I think Will's going to have a better sense of when to evade the rush, when to climb in the pocket, when to scramble outside of it and extend a play. Both are very good athletically in terms of extending the plays. Will might have a little more athletic rushing upside, and the quarterbacks are going to be involved in the run game more this year. We saw it in that spring game. I wrote a story. They ran the ball 12 times that weren't sacks. There were 18 total rushing attempts, but six of those are sacks. Exclude those. 12 rushes, 90 yards on those. And what Chip Kelly said, they're not going to be calling hardly any designed quarterback runs, plays where you say, hey, Will's going to run the ball here. It's either off of a read on an option play or a scramble. And it's enabling a quarterback to have the confidence to just change things up on a defense, be that change up to the fastball that you have in those two running backs. That's where you can open things up further on the ground game. And I think when you mix in some of those rushing elements, it's going to help take some of the burden off this quarterback's shoulders, whether, again, it's Will or Devin. I think we both are expecting Will still, like you said. But, you know, this is a much more real competition than I certainly thought it was entering the spring. I thought, you know, Will was brought here to be the starter. He's going to be the starter. But Devin has done enough in what we've seen to enter into that fray. So as this continues playing out, going to be looking for the consistency, the accuracy from both of those players, and just how close can Devin make this come fall? Can he actually have a chance to usurp the favorite in Will Howard And I think it's going to have to be a clear separation for him to win the job, even though obviously you got to pick the best quarterback to win right now this year. This is the all-in year for Ohio State. He's going to have to separate himself substantially, I think, because of that experience advantage that Will has. I think we're going to learn a lot more about this in the fall, Dan.
To your point about the quarterbacks running, I mean, that's a direct change in how the quarterbacks are being coached than they were particularly 2 to 3 years ago with CJ Stroud. I mean, Ryan Day was legitimately telling CJ Stroud not to run because he didn't want CJ Stroud to get hurt. Now, you know, we heard him say it publicly last week, like they acknowledged the fact that like if you run the quarterbacks, the likelihood of quarterbacks getting hurt increases, but we're still going to do it because we think it's that important to our offense. So that's a whole other factor in the quarterback situation too, is, you know, you can't just have one quarterback you feel good about. You need to have two. Ideally, you have three that you feel good about, because you do increase the likelihood of a quarterback getting hurt if you're using them more in the running game. And, you know, they may even be inclined this year, because of the potential 16-17 game season, to, you know, get their starters, including the quarterback, out of the game sooner in games that they're winning comfortably, to get those other guys more reps to preserve the health of their starters. I think you're certainly going to see that at other positions, and I think you certainly could see it at quarterback, you know, especially if they feel like they have 2 to 3 guys that they feel comfortable with going into September. Again, we're going to see how that plays out. I mean, as we sit here right now, the transfer portal opened on Tuesday. We don't even know how many of these guys are still going to be on the roster. We're not going to know that for sure until 2 weeks from now. And so we're going to have to see how that plays out. But certainly, it's going to look a little different this year, the offense with Chip Kelly. And I think one of the biggest things that's going to be different is going to be the usage of the quarterbacks in the run game. To your point, you know, Chip Kelly has also done a very good job in the past of getting the most out of his offensive lines. And he's certainly going to need to be able to do that this year, because, you know, the quarterbacks are always going to get the most attention. But the offensive line is just as important to whether this team is going to be able to achieve its goals. I mean, we saw that in the Cotton Bowl, what can happen if the offensive line is not up to snuff. And so that's certainly the other big question that I have coming out of a spring. And I think particularly at that right guard spot, because it seems like Josh Simmons, Donovan Jackson, they're locked in as starters on the left side. Ohio State seems confident in Josh Fryer at right tackle, maybe not to the same degree as Jackson and Simmons, but I think Ohio State, as we sit here right now, their thinking is that they will go into the season with Josh Fryer as their starting right tackle. If a great offensive tackle enters the portal, could they potentially go get that guy and potentially bump Josh Fryer inside to right guard? I think that option is still on the table. I mean, we've seen this Ohio State team with what they did in the first transfer window, going and getting a guy like Caleb Downs, they're not going to be afraid to go seek out an upgrade if they see one. So I don't think you can sit there with those offensive tackles and say, we're good. Like, if a great offensive tackle enters the portal, you should get involved in that conversation. But I think what they really are going to be looking for, I think very much priority A1 in this post-spring transfer window, is going and getting a right guard, because I don't think they feel great about anybody they have that spot right now. I think center, I think they feel pretty good with Seth McLaughlin. I think Carson Inman's still in that competition, but I do think it was telling that Seth only played with the first team, whereas Carson continued to play the rest of the game with the twos and threes. That would tell you that Seth maybe isn't an established starter yet, but he's pretty close to being in that group right now. So I think the expectation is that Seth McLaughlin will be the starting center. I think that right guard spot, they don't have anyone they really trust right now. Now, that's not to say they don't have some players who could be that guy. You know, Carson Hinsman's gotten some reps there. I think they are legitimately pleased with the improvement they've seen from him this spring. I think we both liked what we saw from Tegra Shabola in the spring game. And that was something where I think there's definitely potential to build on that in preseason camp because he spent most of the spring playing right tackle. So if they commit to moving him inside, I think he has high upside at that right guard spot. And I think he's somebody who has the potential to fill that hole for them. It seems like with Luke Montgomery that Ohio State did not see what it needed to see this spring for him to be that guy right now, because we did see him taking first team reps of a lot of the spring. He did not take any first team reps during the spring game. He took very few first team reps the day before when we were at Ohio State's penultimate practice as well. And so it feels like he's dropped on the depth chart a little bit where, you know, maybe he's a year away from being a guy that they trust as a starter, whether that be at guard or tackle. I still think Luke Montgomery has high upside, but I think we felt going into the spring there was a chance that Luke Montgomery was going to really establish himself as a starter, and that has not happened. And so I think Ohio State will feel a lot better about this offensive line if it can go get one more experienced starter in the portal.
Yeah, like you said, Dan, to me, Tager Shibula was the best of the right guard bunch in that spring game. I really liked what he provided, especially in the run game. The ability to move, and I think his physical skill set as a lineman, he's able to move bodies on the ground. For Tegra, I think a lot of it has always been the mental side of the game, has been, I'd be interested to see how he holds up in pass pro in a better setting. I mean, it's hard to judge pass protection in a game like this, a spring game like this. But yeah, if you're Ohio State, I think you're definitely looking in the portal for options right now. And it was interesting to see the dichotomy between how Day talked about the offensive line, but really the right side of the offensive line entering the spring, early in the spring, compared to end of the spring. Because, you know, when the question about looking at another transfer portal addition, what you have on the roster, those sorts of things came up early in the spring. There was kind of this aura of confidence that they had the answers in the position room at right guard, or at least they were going to evaluate. They had some guys that they thought could be answers coming out of spring. At the end of spring, when he was asked similar questions, it was, you know, keeping portal options on the table, very much like it's still not where it needs to be. Those sorts of things. It's telling that if there's a guard they like in the portal, I think they're going to go out and get him, and I don't think there's going to be much hesitancy here. Again, this is an all-in year. You can't afford to sit on your laurels at these key positions and not spend the NIL dollars that are now at your disposal, that clearly, you know, the Ohio State collectives have gotten on some great footing over the course of this last year. Go out and get that last transfer piece you need. And frankly, that's the one spot they can afford to add, other than if there is an elite tackle that maybe bumps Josh Fryer inside. But I would more so be looking for that right guard addition. Like you said, I think Luke Montgomery still has great upside as an offensive lineman, as a football player, but clearly he faded down the stretch of this spring practice. And maybe, you know, Ohio State strikes out on whatever guards there are, or doesn't like the guard options that are in the portal, and the competition reopens at that spot come fall. I think at center, Seth McLaughlin, I do expect to take hold of that spot. And yes, we did see him work, like you said, exclusively with the first team in that spring game. But it is interesting that Carson Hensman's still involved in the conversation here. And I think it just speaks to his development, like you said, and what he has done this spring to take his game to the next level. Definitely could have kind of gotten down on himself after what happened there at the end of the year with the Cotton Bowl. Stuck it out. I think they like where he's progressed. And, you know, is there an actual competition at center? I'm not sure, but it feels like, you know, Seth McLaughlin is more than likely going to be the starter this fall. Regardless, though, depth is, again, very, very important for the 16-17 game season. So seeing Carson Hensman at least be a guy who is a serviceable backup at either center or guard is a good thing, regardless of whether he starts or not. So, again, this offensive line, you know, I'm an offensive line guy. I really think where they're at right now, left guard, left, that left side, Josh Simmons, assuming he takes another step, has always had the athletic traits. That left side should be really good. And the way that Chip Kelly again can scheme around his offensive lines and still be productive in the running game, the backs you have behind you, I think if you get that right guard spot sorted, could definitely be an offensive line that ends up being the caliber Ohio State was searching for last year and the caliber it needed to achieve all those goals we've discussed. So I personally think if you can get a great right guard in the portal, I think you take a big swing, and if you land, then you really actually like the direction this offensive line is heading. If what you have in-house currently is what you have going into the fall, then I think you're a little bit, you know, hesitant, a little bit worried about where this offensive line is going. Because at right tackle, Josh Fryer, good. I wouldn't say he's going to be great for them this year. He's obviously got a lot of punch in the run game. I just think there's a certain ceiling he has as a pass blocking tackle. Could very well prove me wrong. I've been wrong before, but I think that there's a certain ceiling that he is already kind of close to at that spot. And if you don't have that right guard beside him that's going to be really dependable, then you get concerned about where that right side is. But in any case, bottom line is go look to make a big swing at right guard at the transfer portal.
I think the good news is when we think about moving into this post-spring transfer window, if you assume no major attrition, and I say that we are recording here on Tuesday afternoon, these things can obviously change quickly. So by the time you're listening to this, there's certainly possible that there could be someone notable in the portal. I'm not hinting at anything, just know these things change quickly. So I want to make sure we put that caveat out there in case anything we've said doesn't make sense by the time you're listening to it, because somebody that we didn't expect to enter the portal ended up entering the portal. But if you assume that they're not going to lose any projected starters, I mean, I think other than that right guard spot, every other starting spot you feel like is pretty close to being accounted for. There's still some battles happening there, but you feel like every spot is close to being accounted for between whether it be on the offensive side of a ball or especially on the defensive side of a ball, where, you know, I think you've got 10 guys who are really locked in as starters. I think the way they were used in the spring game spoke to that. Jack Sawyer, JT Tuimoloau, Ty Hamilton, Tyleek Williams on the defensive line, Cody Simon at middle linebacker, Denzel Burke, Davison Igbinosin, Jordan Hancock, Caleb Downs, Lathan Ransom in the secondary. And in the one other spot, you've got 2 5-stars that are showing a lot of potential in CJ Hicks and Sonny Styles competing for that spot. So defensively, really the only thing you're going to be looking for in this portal window is depth. You know, you might bring in a few guys, you know, maybe at safety where the numbers are a little thin. You know, you might be looking for some depth pieces. Maybe there's guys who you think can be good players in the future. But defensively, you don't need to go out and really look for any starters. And I think other than the offensive line, I don't think you need to do that on offense either. I mean, it seems like at tight end, G. Scott has moved pretty close to being in that established starter territory, and they already brought in a transfer to compete for playing time there in Will Kaczmarek. You know, quarterback, we don't know for sure that Will Howard's going to be the starter, but I think if Ohio State brings in another transfer quarterback, it's going to be a Tristan Jebbia, Chris Chuganov type, and that would only be if they lose 2 or more of their current quarterbacks and then need an extra depth piece. I don't think they're going to be bringing in someone else to compete for the starting quarterback job. They're going to roll with the guys they have on the roster in that regard. And so I think if you can land, you know, one high-caliber offensive lineman in the transfer portal, you're going to feel pretty good about where your roster is at going into the summer, particularly on the defensive side of a ball, which, yes, the offense technically won the spring game, but I think we would probably both agree the defense was what really looked the best in the spring game, which you'd expect because they're bringing back so many great players from a defense that was a top 3 unit in the country last season.
Yeah, obviously a flawed scoring system, Dan. I think when you talk about a touchdown and an extra point being worth more than multiple takeaways or three and outs. You know, this is the spring game was sort of designed to score well to the offense, probably not by intention, maybe by intention, because, I'm sure there was a recognition that the defense is ahead of where the offense is right now. And like you said, why shouldn't they be? I mean, you're talking about the number one pass defense in college football, returning all of its cornerbacks and adding Caleb Downs. You're talking about, the top three scoring and total defense that returns nine starters. So the defense was always going to be ahead of where the offense is, and not surprised to see that play out in the spring game, even if the scoreboard indicated otherwise, I suppose. I'm not sure exactly how you devise a scoring system for offense versus defense spring game. That's kind of why I get why it's done the way it is now. I think it's probably best from a coaching evaluation perspective, but that's why it was always fun back when it used to be like a player, like draft teams and, have an actual just scarlet versus gray with two separate offenses and defenses. And that format of the spring game was always fun. But from an evaluation perspective, obviously, it makes sense to have your ones go against your ones, your twos against your twos, experiment with different lineups however you see fit, that sort of thing. Going on back to that Will linebacker spot, though, I think that what we've seen from CJ Hicks this spring has been another step in terms of the consistency he needs. He made all those big plays at Student Appreciation Day. He wasn't as flashy in this spring game, but I thought still rather sound. And just he needs to, that's the side of his game that needs to develop, right? Is the consistency, the mental aspects of things, being in the right spot on plays. Those are the things that kept him off the field last year and played out in the few reps he got in the Cotton Bowl. And why he didn't get more reps in the Cotton Bowl is because he kind of looked a little lost out there for the few plays, if we're just, keeping it real with how he performed and the opportunities he was given in that Cotton Bowl. And the way that Knowles has the ability to use both him and Styles as chess pieces, even getting them on the field at the same time in those situations, there's a lot of versatility with this defense. And I think there's going to be more from a schematic perspective. Last year was kind of after all the big plays they gave up in 2022, certainly in the front half of last year, even the front three quarters of last year, they really simplified things and just ran a lot of base defenses, focusing on eliminating those big plays. Then you saw the aggression ramp up a touch as players got acclimated, as the secondary proved, hey, it's going to hold its ground. It's the best pass defense in college football. They have the chess pieces now where I think Jim Knowles is going to crank up the aggression this year again and start to use a lot of creative chess pieces flowing through the defense and give different looks to offenses. Did some of that last year with personnel, but I think the way you can use CJ Hicks and Sonny Styles as blitzers is really intriguing to me and something that really excites me in watching how this defense has progressed throughout the spring, that they're going to start attacking the line of scrimmage a bit more, I think, Dan, because they have such an elite secondary to back them up and prevent the big plays anyway. So if you can get the extra pressure, the old adage is pressure beats coverage, then why not send some extra guys on plays where you didn't as much last year? To go off your point about the transfer portal too, there's not a whole long list of needs outside of that right guard spot. I think it's just retention. This is going to be a crazy spring window compared to last year. At least that's the reports around the national scene, right? Is that there's going to be some names enter the portal, maybe that aren't expected nationwide, that are big time players. Perhaps it's not going to be like last year where a lot of the entrants are just guys that lost position battles. It's not as chaotic as it was in the first window. There were some extra things this year that threw chaos into the mix, Nick Saban's retirement, coaching changes, and the 30-day windows that opened up there. But this spring is going to have a lot of uncertainty around college football because, players are free agents now. They get two free agent windows. You have unlimited transfers and you have NIL, and a lot of teams are tampering despite the fact that, you're not supposed to. There's ways that these kids can find out about what they could make at other schools if they go on the move, right? And that creates this environment where there's going to be a lot of player movement, because as a player should in those circumstances, they're going to do what's best for themselves and their family. And it's going to be interesting to watch all the movement around college football. And the top objective for Ohio State then needs to be retention and ensuring that it's got all its bases covered and there's no unexpected names that fly out the door. And you aren't all of a sudden having to replace any of those starters because you have such a great core with this team. You might lose some depth at certain positions, but if you can just keep the key guys intact, I think you're loving where you're at and what you've built so far this year. Add that right guard, and I think you can call it a home run portal cycle for Ohio State if it's just holding on to everybody that's important for this team.
Yeah, and you know, as we sit here, we're recording at about 5 o'clock on Tuesday afternoon. It hasn't been as crazy a first day of the portal as I think maybe I expected yet, just based on how it had been hyped up. Now, granted, this comment could age poorly. There could be plenty of chaos to come. There's still 14 plus more days of this portal window as we're recording. And so certainly I expect some bigger names to enter the portal over the course of these next 2 weeks, you know, just across college football. But, you know, I don't think it's going to get to the same level of crazy as what we saw in the winter portal. I think it's probably going to be a more active portal season than last spring, but I don't know that it's going to get quite to that same level of what we saw in the winter. But again, we'll kind of see how that plays out over the next 2 weeks. You know, college football is evolving so rapidly that you have to expect the unexpected now. You just do. And so, you know, we'll have a lot more to talk about over the next couple of weeks as the portal cycle continues to unfold. You know, before we move on from the spring game, you know, certainly want to, you know, kind of shout out some of the guys who maybe we haven't talked a lot about this spring who had good performances in the spring game. You know, I thought some of the freshmen, you know, we've talked so much about Jeremiah Smith. He's kind of the only, a little bit Julian saying, like, those are really the only two freshmen that we've talked about this spring. But, you know, there are some other freshmen who I thought were impressive in the spring game. I thought, you know, Jalen McClain's a guy who's been kind of quietly drawing some buzz as a backup safety. And he had a really good performance in the spring game, a very nice interception against Julian saying. I thought both of the freshman running backs looked really good. Sam Williams-Dixon had 75 rushing yards of a touchdown. James Peoples had 59 scrimmage yards with a touchdown. I thought both of those guys looked like guys who are capable of giving Ohio State quality depth of that running back room this year and potentially playing much bigger roles in the future. Edrick Houston's a guy who I feel like, as a five-star recruit, like we really haven't talked much about him as a freshman this spring, but I thought he had a really strong showing in the spring game, 6 tackles and a sack. You know, what will that lead to this season? I don't know, because they're very deep at defensive end. I think Mitchell Melton's another guy, not a young guy, but I think he's another guy who had a really good spring game. And I think there's some definite momentum growing for him toward potentially playing a bigger role this year if he can avoid some of the injury issues he's had in the past. Aaron Scott Jr., another freshman who I thought had a good day. He played a game high 72 defensive snaps, and you can see all the snap counts from the spring game on 11warriors.com. But he had 6 tackles, couple of pass breakups. You know, other than Jeremiah Smith, I don't think we really expect any true freshmen to play major roles this season. But those are all guys that showed their promise for the future. And we love walk-ons here on Real Pod Wednesdays. At least we know I do. And I thought there were some impressive performances from walk-ons who deserve some shout-outs. I thought Inky Jones really played well in this game. He played both free safety and cornerback. 7 tackles, tackle for loss, an interception. You know, he's a guy that, you know, let's say if they finish a little bit under the 85 limit here, once they get through portal season, he's a guy I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up on scholarship, because I think he's a guy who's proven that at a minimum he can play on special teams for this team. And I think he's a guy that at a position like safety, where their depth maybe isn't quite where they'd like it to be right now, I do anticipate they'll probably try to bring in a transfer safety just to bolster that depth. But I think he's a guy that can give them some depth too. But I think if he needed to play, it wouldn't necessarily be a dire situation, because I think he showed in that spring game that he's got some ability. We saw Brennan Schramm and TC Caffey both score touchdowns. We saw David Adolph finishes the day's leading receiver, 4 catches for 50 yards. I mean, we're probably not going to see a walk-on get real snaps in that receiver room, but yeah, I thought David Adolph and Brendan Schramm both played well. So, you know, give credit to them for how they performed. Deontay Griffin, the grandson of Archie Griffin, I thought he had a nice game, ended the day with an interception. And Mason Maggs apparently plays running back now. He's a walk-on quarterback, but we saw him get a few snaps at running back. It was a little bit of confusion in the press box because with those black jerseys the quarterback wear, it's kind of hard to read the numbers. So at first, the 16 looked like an 18, and I think even on the broadcast, they got it wrong at first. And they thought Lincoln Keenholz was handing the ball off to Will Howard, and we're kind of like, what are they doing? And then we realized it was actually Mason Maggs, the walk-on quarterback. So, you know, not sure if that's going to be an actual position change for him. Might have just been a way to get him on the field in the spring game when they had so many quarterbacks to give reps. But, you know, one thing that was fun about this spring game is typically in the spring game, it's so vanilla. You just see the base offense versus the base defense. We actually saw some wrinkles in this game from the coaches. Chip Kelly starting it off right out of the gate with the T formation, which he said he called as an homage to Woody Hayes. And then even on the defensive side of a ball, we saw Jim Knowles mix some wrinkles in there. Like, I think one that may have maybe gotten overlooked was on the opening drive of a game, third down, they threw a 5 defensive lineman package out there with a 4 defensive ends, Ty Hamilton at nose tackle. Sonny Styles subbed in as like a linebacker safety hybrid. He was the only linebacker on the field. They had Jermaine Matthews in there as a 4th corner with Caleb Downs as the only safety. Like, that was a look we hadn't seen before, and they threw it out there in the spring game. So that was kind of fun because usually it's like they don't want to show anything in the spring game. But I get the sense Chip Kelly, Jim Knowles, they're both the kind of guys who just love coming up with ideas and game plans. And I think those guys really enjoyed the chess match against each other this spring of calling plays and trying to outwit each other a little bit with their schematics.
Yeah, that T formation is something I wouldn't be surprised if we saw in the fall a little bit, you know, just in short yardage and red zone. I think Chip brought it up as a possibility. You know, they're not going to run it. It's not going to be like an integral part of the offense or anything. They're not going to run it every drive. But I think in short yardage in certain areas of the field, it could be something that you see to help them move the rock, just pound out a yard or two when they need it. That chess match is really always fun to watch when you have two minds like that for offense and defense with all those ingenuitive ideas, things that they bring to the table. And, you know, that can only help, too, when you're talking about giving each other different looks in practice going into the fall and playing different opponents with different styles of offense and defense. So that was a lot of fun to see play out in the spring game where we normally don't. You know, you mentioned Inky Jones. He was someone I even thought stood out on Student Appreciation Day. That practice we saw, he was making plays around the field. They were super thin at safety this spring. They'll be thin again fall. They're already down, you know, a safety after Cedric Hawkins entered the transfer portal. So I think those numbers at safety are going to allow Jones to at least play maybe some garbage time, see the field a little bit at the end of the games. And who knows, maybe in an emergency situation, like you said, I think you could do worse, certainly, at safety in if all hell breaks loose than Inky Jones. You know, another shout out we got to give though, Dan, you won the fantasy draft. You outsmarted me with your picks as to who was going to produce the most. Really, you could say you were the people's champion because James Peoples is the pick that ultimately won this for you. He scored 11.9 of your 17.7 points. I scored 12.5, my entire team of 5. So James almost just won it by himself. But certainly lofted you to the victory there. You want to take your victory lap, Dan, and tell the people how smart you are?
Well, who knew that, you know, Sam Williams-Dixon and Brennan Schramm were the guys that we really should have been drafting, because a lot of our picks did not really, you know, it was funny because we didn't pick Emeka Abuka on the basis of we didn't think he was going to play very much. And I think he, if I'm looking at the numbers correctly, he had more receiving yards than all the receivers we drafted combined. Brandon Innes didn't play. Jeremiah Smith had only 16 yards. Bryson Rogers had 3 yards. Carnell Tate had 5. So, you know, the logic was, oh, we're not going to draft a Mecca because he's not really going to play. And then he ended up actually having more yards. And we should give a Mecca a shout out, too, because a Mecca had the play of a game. He had a great one-handed catch. I feel like, you know, Mecca's almost become like a forgotten guy this spring because there's just so much hype about Jeremiah. But that one moment was a reminder, like, hey, if this guy's healthy, he's going to be one of the best receivers in college football. Like, do not forget about how good a Mecca Buka is. But yeah, I would say collectively, I don't know that we had the best draft here. I mean, you know, you did take the only quarterback to throw a touchdown pass, Devin Brown. Quinjon Judkins ended up being a solid pick for you, despite not playing a whole lot. He still had 36 combined yards. But yeah, I think James Peoples certainly with 11.9 points. I know that when we put it in our company Slack channel, Jason Priestess, our boss, commented that you know, James Peoples was a good value pick by me in the fourth round. So Jason was correct in that assessment that he certainly proved to be the winning pick for me, and certainly an impressive showing for him. Again, I think a guy who, you know, we've heard, you know, maybe they're going to look for a veteran running back in the transfer portal. They've been connected to UMass running back Kayron Lynch Adams, who's a Warren, Ohio native and ran for well over 1,000 yards last year. So if they can get him to come in and be the number three running back, that would be a great pickup. But I think if they don't find a veteran running back, I think they'll be okay with the guys they have, because I think James Peoples, to me, he would be the favorite to be the number three running back right now. Sam Williams Dixon, I really liked what we saw from him in the spring game. And then T.C. Caffey as well is another guy like Inky Jones. But I think, you know, if you're looking at walk-ons who could contribute if needed, who I think they would trust to play if they needed to play, I think T.C. Caffey is one of the guys in that small group.
Yeah, I'm a big T.C. Caffey enjoyer, probably not as much as you, but he's got a fun game. Obviously, a lot of people remember that touchdown against Toledo a couple years ago. A guy that, you know, I honestly, like, when you watch him run the football, it's hard to tell he's a walk-on. I would say that's a guy that a lot of teams would trust to carry the ball in situations. And, you know, both he and Inky, with how thin their spots could get if things happen, it's going to be interesting to see if they get the ball any, and just as like a fun story, you know. These aren't guys that are almost ever going to be like impact players, make a difference in you winning a national title, but hey, you know, could be a scenario where they have one big play that you remember forever, right? Maybe TC already had that. You know, as you sit here right now, I think exiting the spring, where this team is at, Dan, and you talk about those goals, what is our level of confidence here that Ohio State has what it needs to beat Michigan, win the Big Ten, make the CFP, and win the national championship? Where is your level of confidence at with each of those four objectives for the Buckeyes?
Yeah, I think it's a little different for each one. I mean, I think starting with beat Michigan, I'd probably go 75%. Because I think Ohio State definitely has a better roster than Michigan going into this season. They have a lot more returning experience than Michigan, but Michigan has beaten Ohio State 4 years in a row. So it's the monkey on the back that now Ohio State has to get past. I think Ohio State should beat Michigan this year, especially playing at home, but I can't go any higher than 75% because, one, Ohio State just has to prove it. We're at the point now, Ohio State has to prove it they can go in that game. And secondly, because of those quarterback and offensive line questions, we saw those two positions in particular cost Ohio State against Michigan last year. They're going to need to be better this year for Ohio State to have a good chance to win the game. Andy, where's your percentage confidence on that one?
80, a little higher, not much. It's still Michigan. It's still the game. There's still going to be, you know, uncertainty, a lot of tension. A lot can happen in a rivalry game. To me, though, I'm not that high on Michigan this year. I think it's going to be a pretty down year. They went last year felt like the year for them, and they obviously obtained the pinnacle of the sport. They won a national title, but without their head coach, with so many pieces that they've lost, I just feel like they're not going to be, from a talent perspective, in the same realm as Ohio State. And that you're at home. It's true. You've got the monkey on your back. You haven't beaten this team 3 years in a row. And there's all those narratives that surround it. But in the end, to me, that whole like narrative mental side of the game really only plays out for a little bit of a football game. Like once you get through the first quarter, once you're in it, really those nerves settle down. And I think ultimately Ohio State's just going to be a much better team than Michigan this year, and they're playing at home. So I put my level of confidence at 80%. You can never, I think that's about the highest I could ever get for a rivalry game though, with those guys. And maybe like an 85, if they weren't riding a 3-game losing streak, right? To move on then to winning the Big Ten, I'd put it a little lower because there's a lot else that can go wrong in that pursuit. I would probably say about 55% is where I'd say I am in terms of my confidence this team wins the Big Ten Conference. They have a lot of hurdles to clear to get there. I think they have the best roster, not just in the Big Ten, maybe in college football. And you have all these teams that you're stacking up against, you know, with maybe not as great rosters, but there's still a lot of really good teams now, especially with the additions the Big Ten has made. Of course, I think Oregon's going to be a big challenge, and they obviously have to go to Oregon. So the first step is just making that Big Ten championship game, and you have a larger field to contend with for that. But then, you know, you got to go win that game. And I think that's on a neutral field. You're probably going to be playing a better opponent than Michigan. Just winning that individual Big Ten championship game, I would have a lower confidence in than beating Michigan right now. But getting there is also part of the equation. So I think more likely than not, but only barely, which is why I say 55% for winning the Big Ten.
Yeah, I'm going to go 60%. Maybe that's slightly high, but you know, I'm very much there with you on, you have a rationale there. I mean, you gotta beat out 17 teams. So, you know, it's, you know, to say 60%, maybe that's a little bit high, but I do think Ohio State should be the best team in the Big Ten. I don't necessarily think Ohio State is going to run the table in the Big Ten, but I do think it's very likely Ohio State will be one of the top two teams in the Big Ten and get to that Big Ten championship game. And Ohio State has a very good track record of winning that game in Indianapolis. So I'll actually go a little more specific on my prediction here as we sit here today. I think Ohio State loses to Oregon in the regular season on the road, but I think Ohio State wins all the rest of its regular season games, gets a rematch with Oregon, and wins the revenge game in Indy.
That is an interesting take on the situation, but I certainly a way I could see the season unfolding, Dan. And credit to you for putting your neck out there and getting real specific with it. Now for the one I think both of us are going to be most confident in, making the college football playoff. I would put it at 99% for me. I'll say it even 99. I don't go 99.9 because you look at the schedule, they've got to lose 3 games not to make the playoff. Point blank period. This team goes 10-2. They're not going to be ranked outside the top 12. I just don't think that happens. So where are the 3 losses? At Oregon, at Penn State, Michigan. Like, they could lose each of those 3 games. I do not predict that to happen at all, but those are 3 losable games. So that's the 1%. Otherwise, I'd have said 99.9, but I have it at 99 because I don't see, and even if they do go 9-3, there's still a solid chance they make it anyway, because the top 1 or 2 9-3 teams are going to be in that conversation. So that's where I stand on making the playoffs and putting it at 99%.
Yeah, I'm going to go 99.5. 99.9 seems slightly too high, but if this team doesn't make the college football playoff, we're going to be sitting here talking about a coaching search next December. Yeah. Like, this roster is too good not to make a 12-team college football playoff. Ohio State would have never missed a 12-team playoff if it initially started a 12-team playoff in 2014. This should not be the team that misses it. And so 0.5, I'm not giving myself very much margin for error there, but I mean, this team's got to make a college football playoff.
Yeah, I think there's Ryan Day will certainly be getting his walking papers if we're not seeing the Buckeyes in the college football playoff this fall. On winning the national championship, you know, of course, going to be the least likely of the bunch. So much has to go right just in terms of luck. And you could have the best roster, the best team in college football, and still not win a national championship. It happens all the time. Because there's just so much injuries, a few calls don't go your way in a matchup game, you know, and in this 12-team playoff now, you're going to have to win at least three games if you get a bye in a row against really good teams to ultimately hoist that trophy. So there is so much unpredictability, but I do think Ohio State probably has the best roster in the country, especially if they do go out and get a big land at right guard. Then you're talking about, like, yeah, absolutely. Other than, you know, quarterback, you'd like to have that sort of Heisman caliber guy there. But in any case, as long as Will Howard and Devin Brown are up to a certain standard, they have such a great team around them. To me, I'm going to go 15% on a national title. Just maybe that's low, given all I just said. But there aren't many teams in the country I'd put above that just because of all the unknown that's out there and how difficult, you know, all up at the 20. We'll go 20%. I think 15, now I'm talking myself out of 15 now. 20%. 20%, and that's where I'm sticking. There are so many unknown variables here, and I think 20% is probably about as high as I'm going to put any team. Maybe 25 if you're just that much clearly better than everybody, but so much can go wrong in a college football season. So much uncertainty to ultimately be the one team left standing. So I'm going 20%, but I really think that's to me, that's a high number to say that this team has a legitimate shot to win a national title with the roster they have.
Yeah, I thought you were going to go a little higher, honestly. I mean, I'm thinking more like 25%, because I do think that this team has the best all-around roster in the sport. And honestly, if I felt better about the quarterback and offensive line situations than I do right now, I'd probably be at the 35-40% range, because I think the rest of this roster is that good. I mean, I think this team is going to have, in my opinion, I think this team is going to have the best defense in the country. I think they're going to have the best receiver in the run country and the best running back room in the country. That's most of field right there. So, like, I do think this team is very much, in my estimation, among the top two national championship favorites as of right now, along with Georgia. Now, with that being said, if I was taking an Ohio State versus Georgia game right now, I might lean slightly toward Georgia because they have a quarterback who I'd feel better about right now in Carson Beck than I do of Ohio State's quarterback situation. I'm not going to go out and quite make that prediction outright as I did with the Big Ten, but I think, to me, those are the two best. You just look at their rosters, and again, you know, we might have to reevaluate this discussion in 2 or 3 weeks after the transfer portal fallout goes and see how other teams' rosters either get better or get worse. But to me, those two teams, if you just look at the rosters of the big names to top contenders, those two rosters clearly stand out as the best in the sport right now. I think Georgia might have the advantage quarterback offensive line right now, but I think Ohio State probably has the advantage in a lot of other areas. And so I feel very good about this team's national championship chances. I'm not going to necessarily say that I would pick this team to win the national championship right now, as was reflected by 25%. There's another 75% out there. But, you know, if we were going back to where I was at this time last year, like at this time last year, I probably would have had, I definitely would have had a lower percentage on beating Michigan last year. I definitely would have had a lower percentage on beating Michigan last year. My Big Ten percentage, you know, it would have been a different calculation because you had to beat Michigan to win it last year, whereas this year it's a little bit of a different story. But I think my national championship percentage is definitely higher right now than it would have been at this time last year, because I do believe this roster all around is better than last year. It's just those two positions that were the problem areas last year. I do think Ohio State's roster is better in both of those areas this year, but are they better enough? I mean, that's the whole question we are probably going to be talking about for the next 8 to 9 months with this team. Because I think there's a very good chance that we will see Ohio State and Georgia have a rematch in the national championship game at Mercedes-Benz Stadium on January 20th. But there's 9 months to go to get there. There's a lot of hurdles Ohio State has to clear to get there. And that's why, you know, you're going 20%. I'm going 25% on this. But, you know, you come out of this spring and there's a lot of reasons to be excited about this Ohio State football team. There's a lot of reasons for optimism with this Ohio State football team. I do think there are a couple of very real concerns that if you're going to be grounded and realistic about this team, you cannot ignore those areas of concern. But I think if Ohio State can find the answers at those positions, this team is I'd say since 2019, going to be the most capable team Ryan Day and Ohio State have had of potentially getting to that mountaintop and winning a national championship this year.
Yeah, this is, to me, again, I've said it before, I think you have the potential to be like generationally good on defense, like the best Ohio State defense maybe we've seen ever. They have the pieces to be that good on that side of the ball, and that's where most of my confidence comes from, because fact is I don't have much confidence that Will Howard is going to get to like a CJ Stroud, Justin Fields type of level, or even like a Michael Penix type of level, or so someone who can really elevate the team. But he doesn't need to, of course, when you have a defense and a running game this good. All you need to win the national championship is around you. And again, it's just that unknown variable of what all can go wrong during a college football season. And maybe it's also, you know, I've been around this team so long, growing up as a fan, then becoming a reporter covering the team. It's like they've won one national championship really since I've been sentient. I don't remember 2002. I was 4 years old. So that 2014 team was incredible, but they've had so many teams since then and before then, even, that I remember as a kid, that, you know, you thought, hey, this should be one of the best teams in college football. They've won one national title. It's hard, you know. We live in an era where we're fresh off of Nick Saban's retirement, and you look back on his career and what he did, and he made winning national championships looks easy. That's not what it's supposed to be like. You know, winning a national championship is freaking hard, even if you have the best team. And so that and covering that journey is going to be super interesting this year. And for, again, I'm just excited to watch exactly what heights this defense achieves and how Jim Knowles uses his chess pieces on a game-to-game basis to get the most out of all the talent they have on that side of the football.
Well, we will have plenty to talk about next week. There will surely be transfer portal activity over the next week for us to discuss. We will also look ahead to the NFL draft, which is just 8 days away, and we'll talk about where the Buckeyes could end up going in the draft. We'll talk about the basketball news as well. We had some basketball news earlier this week. You can go to our YouTube page, check out our latest episode of Press Coverage if you want to hear what we had to say about the addition of Aaron Bradshaw and the work that Jake Diebler and Ohio State basketball are doing in the transfer portal right now. Spring football is over, but still a busy time in Ohio State sports right now, particularly in terms of the roster building process for both Ohio State football and Ohio State basketball. And so we will be back next week to talk about all the latest. We hope you'll join us then. Thanks for listening in.